Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Headline in the Tribune, 50,000 food stamp recipients in Cook County may have to find jobs starting January 1st or lose their benefits. There's an employment threshold, and if the state's employment threshold goes down below 4%, the idea is, well, then there's enough jobs. Shoot, unemployment's 3.9. You can find a job. So go find a job if you want your SNAP, your food stamps. You got to work 30 hours a week or be doing volunteer work or looking for a job in a jobs program for 20 hours a week. And if you don't do that, you will not get your couple hundred bucks a week, say, or a month, rather. At least that's my understanding on it. There's a quote in the article from Greg Trotter from the Greater Chicago Food Depository. He said, simply put, taking away their food assistance isn't going to help them find work, which is exactly what this tries to do. And who knows, maybe it will work. Grace Ho's on a phone line. She is, in the state of Illinois, the Secretary of Human Services. Grace, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me.
That's my interpretation of it. You're welcome, Grace. I'm glad you're here. Is that kind of why we are where we are right now?
Yes. John, you explained it very accurately, and I think I would echo Greg's quote in that our first and primary concern for the people who are on food stamps, and of course people in Illinois, are that they are food secure, that they can put food on the table. And this change, we believe, will impact that ability.
Well, let's just talk about the program. With unemployment below 4%, the idea is these people can get jobs, even if they're not great jobs. You know, it's enough to at least have enough money to buy food. Why does this not work?
Right. So I think we share in that mission to help individuals in Illinois find jobs and find employment. I think that, though, with this change, you know, we have about 1.7 million SNAP recipients, or as, you know, formerly known as food stamps, and about 141,000 people who are amongst that 1.7 million are characterized as able-bodied adults without dependents. And as you shared, we are now required to help 50,000 individuals who are in Cook County who fall under that category of ABODs, able-bodied adults without dependents, to help them find work-related employment or work in general. And I would say, you know, as it relates to the jobs that are available, as you described, as well as the program writ large, there's just a mismatch. I think that the idea that the available positions are necessarily accessible to the population that we're talking about is not necessarily true. And there may be barriers such as education or vocational education or other barriers that make it more challenging for individuals to find employment or to find work-related activities.
My guess, Grace, is people think if you are mentally unbalanced, and a lot of street people are, then that's different. But if you're just lazy, or you just don't want to work, or you're making more money on the street than you might be at some entry-level job, then that's on you. But we're not going to tide you over anymore. And they think that that's fair. That is, if this doesn't motivate you to work, you don't have to work, but I don't have to pay for your free lunch. And if you walk around the city, if you walk around the state, on a lot of street corners, there's people who seem to be working the corner pretty well. Why aren't they behind a counter working pretty well? You know what I'm talking about. Just address that scene.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And I think if For us at the Illinois Department of Human Services, and I would imagine a lot of people who are in Illinois believe that there are some just common basics that we as, you know, residents of this state or this country should have, which is food on the table, health care, education. And so we take that charge very seriously. And I do believe that a lot of the people who fall into this category who will now be encouraged or required to work will indeed try to take part in a lot of the opportunities that we present. And so I talked to you a little bit about the mismatch earlier. And so while the requirements for work or work-like activities are 30 to 20 hours a week, the recipients of this benefit get about $200 worth of benefit each month. And I think for some of the individuals who may be doing other types of work that don't necessarily fall within the minimum wage requirements may fall off, right? And so they may go hungry. And that is our first and primary consideration. I think the other piece is if we want a dramatically increased number of people to participate in work-related programs or to find a job, we need to make the investments in workforce and training programs, vocational programs, so that this population can enter the workforce and be successful. And I think the mismatch here, again, is that the resources that the federal government requires or provides us for that employment training program is just not adequate to meet the needs of those individuals who may fall off this program.
Well, if you don't have a home and you can't shower and you don't have clean clothes, if you're literally, and I don't know that we're talking about street people, then I understand the obstacles. But describe for me a person who could not comply with this new directive. That is, you got to work 30 hours a week. Assuming they have shelter and a shower, what's to keep them from finding 30 hours of minimum wage work? Listen, I'm as liberal as they come, Grace. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm.
Yeah,
but
no. I think you're asking really good questions, and I think because this is a new population that we are needing to now work and serve and provide investments for as it relates to workforce, to be honest, we need to learn more about what they need in order to be successful. You know, because we haven't had to work very closely with this population because they were exempt from the rules that we're talking about today, we don't know, right, if they have a physical or mental condition that prevents them from working.
Well, they should be exempt. If somebody is mentally unstable,
exactly.
And I see that all the time.
Exactly.
They're not going to get a job at a fast food restaurant. They can't. They're crazy. So there's that. I will exempt them. Does this exempt them?
So yes. There are exemption reasons that would allow the individual to continue to be in the program and not be subject to work requirements. And having a physical disability or a mental illness would be potentially one of the exemption reasons. A pregnancy, current participation in a drug or alcohol treatment program, being enrolled in a school or higher education. And so I think to answer your question, we believe that a percentage of the population who are impacted may in fact be already complying or exempt. But because we have not had to really look closely at each individual who is in this program until January of this coming year, we don't necessarily know what their barriers are. And we are going to work really aggressively to mitigate those barriers. We don't want people to go hungry. We're establishing kind of ABOD specialty teams at each of our local offices across the region to make sure that we can do our best to make sure that people have food on their table.
I have 90 seconds left. 708 said it's ludicrous to think people are poor and impoverished simply because they choose to be so. I hear that. And Margie, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi. I run the food pantry in Tuscola, Illinois, and we have lots of families come in because of the food insecurities in Douglas County. My question is, how do they expect a single mother with children to be employed and yet pay for child care?
Margie, I appreciate your call. I think she would be an exception, wouldn't she, Grace?
Correct. Thank you, John. So so Margie, a woman with a child would not be characterized as an able-bodied adult without dependent. So
that's what it is.
She would not be subject to this change.
There's other people that will be. Well, let's see how this goes. That's page one of the Tribune today. And I think people's gut reaction, I'm sure you're with me on this, Grace, or at least you must expect. Some people are going to say, hell yeah, tough love, go get yourself a job. There's other people that may literally fall through the cracks, though, and it's not going to be that easy. And I'm just curious about how the numbers break down. I'm wondering what the truth in all of that's going to be.
Yes, John, and that's something that we're going to be looking at very closely. And again, it's complicated. There's not one kind of demographic that we're working with, and we're going to do everything that we can to meet the needs of this population. That's our charge.
Grace Ho, thank you for your time. Good luck to you on this.
Thank you.
You betcha. Grace Ho joining us on WGN Radio. She is, I'll get the title right, the Secretary of the Department of Human Services.